The individual in the Lord's Supper is the title of this lesson, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 primarily tonight. And a few other verses we'll be turning to, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where Paul dealt with the church concerning their errors, or their error when it came to the Lord's Supper, how they were observing it, and how they had kind of treated it incorrectly. And so we find here that he challenged them to get things corrected, to observe it correctly, but also to make sure their hearts were right with God before they observed it. And we find here, beginning in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the word. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Tonight we're going to look at this, just a few thoughts on the believer and the Lord's Supper, the importance of the Lord's Supper. And I have two points in our outline. We're going to talk about the examination and then the error. When I say examination, how we're to, Bible tells us to examine our hearts, to really examine ourselves to make sure we are prepared to take the Lord's Supper. More than anything else, this is going to be a practical lesson. What I mean by that is it's going to be a challenge, really. And I know we're not observing the Lord's Supper tonight, but when we do observe the Lord's Supper, this will be, hope will be a reminder of preparation and preparing ourselves so that we're ready to observe the Lord's Supper. How we approach the Lord's Supper is important, and I think we really should prepare our hearts for it as individuals to observe the Lord's Supper. And here's the challenge I'll share with you tonight in this lesson. First, we need to examine our relationship with Christ. You notice in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, he begins there, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Examine. Talking about a self-examination. Really examining your heart, making sure that things are right with God. Now, of course, the first thought that I have concerning our relationship with God is salvation. You know, the Lord's Supper is for the saved. It's not to be saved. And that's where some, I think, are confused at times. They think the Lord's Supper is to be saved, so that way they can be right with God. And actually, the Lord's Supper is for those that are already saved. We find the Lord's Supper was given to the apostles. So the Lord's Supper is something we partake of because we belong to God and we are forgiven. It's not for forgiveness. That's already been settled and taken care of. And it's not to keep us saved. God is going to take care of that. The Holy Spirit will keep us, we will be sealed under the day of redemption in the Holy Spirit. You know, each time that we observe the Lord's Supper, it provides opportunity for church members. You know, as the Lord blesses and our church grows, every time we observe the Lord's Supper, it will give opportunity for all the church members to examine their heart, make sure they're saved. You know, there are occasions where someone will be in church for years. They'll have heard the gospel. They'll have heard the message. And they'll have not responded to salvation. They may be even be a member at times. There are times where members are not saved. And they have trust. They have made a profession, but there was no real, I guess you say, faith. Genuine faith in the heart. And so what this does, whenever we examine the Lord's Supper, it just challenges everyone to consider their salvation. And if you're saved, it's already settled. It's taken care of. But it really challenges people to examine the heart to make sure they have repented of their sin, they belong to God, and they're not just trusting in their works or trusting in their church for salvation. So if someone is not saved, then the matter can be settled. It should be settled. They should get it taken care of by repenting and trusting in Christ. The second thought we have under relationship with Christ is the Lord's Supper is to stir our hearts. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to be stirred or challenged, maybe at work? You know, you just get into a rut. People get into a rut. It's easy for believers to get in a rut as well. It's easy for us just to go through the motions, and whether it's serving the Lord, reading the Bible. But when we examine our heart before we observe the Lord's Supper, I think that can stir our hearts to God. Because we examine the heart and we see if we are living the way God would want us to live. When you think of examining the heart, we should examine our heart first concerning the Lord's Supper itself. What I mean by that is we need to understand the purpose and the importance and just make sure that our motives are correct when observing the Lord's Supper. That we understand that it's a memorial. And when we observe it, we are remembering Christ and the price that was paid on the cross. Secondly, I think we should examine our life in regards to sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and notice we're going to read verses 23 and 24. You know, when you examine your heart, I think it's good to, of course, examine it yourself, but we can deceive ourselves. You know, the Bible talks about our conscience. And I know our conscience will convict us, but you know there are times, the Bible says that our conscience can be seared. The Bible says our conscience can be hardened. You see, our conscience can deceive us. I think we should examine our heart in the light of God's Word, because we know that God's Word is truth, and also asking God to show us. Notice what the psalmist wrote here, and this is Psalm 139, verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This here is a good prayer. Now, I don't believe in making something a monotonous traditional prayer. But you don't have to use these same words. But the thought in this prayer is a good, I think, principle concerning prayer before the Lord's Supper. Now, it can be done at any time, too, by the way, not just before the Lord's Supper. But it's good to examine our heart and ask God to examine our heart. I know when we ask God to examine our heart, He may show us areas that either we missed or we just chose to ignore. He may impress upon our heart the need to get some things right. Now, there may not be a situation where we have a public sin or a gross sin or anything like that. It may just be a situation where there's neglect in our heart or in our life, where the motives have switched. What I mean by that is the motive is no longer Christ. The motive has switched to self, and it's about self. It's not about Christ in a certain area. And when we ask the Lord to examine our heart, as He says here, "Try me and know my thoughts." In other words, test me and see if there's any wickedness there. If there is, show me. You know, when that occurs, I believe if the Lord does show you, here's the best way I think I can put it. Whatever the Lord impresses upon your heart, then follow after it. If there is sin there, and that's between you and the Lord, it's not between your pastor or anyone else, but if the Lord impresses that upon your heart, then confess it and forsake it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's good to ask the Lord to examine our heart and see if there's any sin there. You see, the Lord knows our motives. He knows our desires, and He knows if they're pure or if they're selfish or if they're tainted with sin in any way. And when He shows us that, we just need to confess it and prepare and move on. You know, like I mentioned, we don't have to do that just before the Lord's Supper. It's good to do that occasionally in our life. Just examine it and ask the Lord to examine it for us. Also examine with the intent to repent. You know, sometimes we can examine our heart, but we can become stubborn. And we may know that there's something there, but we just don't want to deal with it. We just want to kind of shove it aside, ignore it. Or we might want to say, well, it's no big deal. It's not as bad as what others are doing or anything like that. You know, when we examine our heart, or when we ask the Lord to examine our heart, it should be with the intent to repent of that sin, if there is any sin there. If we find sin there, even if it's just in our motives or our thoughts, then a repentance is necessary. I guess as far as warnings, first we need to be careful of ignoring certain areas. I think we can all do that. We can all ignore certain areas in our life that we just going to choose to ignore instead of dealing with and seeking God's forgiveness. Also, let's be willing to seek God's forgiveness and forsake sin. You know, sometimes we can have an impression made upon our heart and we just choose not to seek God's forgiveness. We just want to hold on to it. And like I said, I'm not talking necessarily tonight about a sin you're going out and doing. It can be just as simple as the sin of bitterness, the sin of jealousy, the sin of envy, you know, the sin of gossiping. The list can go on and on of a lot of the sins that are, we like to refer to them as small sins, but no sin is small in God's eyes. And all sin is dangerous. Any sin at all in our heart should be repented of and forsaken if we're going to observe the Lord's Supper and be blessed. Now, secondly, I think, as far as the examination, we should examine our relationship with believers or with other believers, is what we should do. I got a picture up here of a smiley face. You know, that's what we want in our life, with all of our relationships. But you know, sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes there is problems. Sometimes there is sin involved. And we need to examine that and ask the Lord to show us and then get things right. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice in verse 32, it says there, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Notice, this is how we're to treat one another. First, he says, be kind one to another. We're to care for each other, other believers. Also, we're to be tender-hearted, not hard-hearted toward them, not cold, not hoping they would fail, not willing to help or assist them in any way. And then it says here, forgiving one another. We need to be willing to forgive each other, not hold on to the problem that's there, if there is a problem, but be willing to forgive. And it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's the power to forgive right there. Because some may say, well, you know, it may be a certain situation where you may say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. You don't know what they've done to me. And you know, you may be right. Someone may not deserve your forgiveness. I don't know what they've done to you. I don't know how they have harmed you. I don't know how they've offended you. I don't know what they've said. But I do know this. We're forgiven by God because of Christ. We're sinners before God. We have offended God, broken His sin, but rebellious. Yet we're forgiven, it says there, because of Christ's sake. And that's the same reason that we are to forgive one another. Not because they deserve it, and they may deserve it, but because, like Christ, we can be willing to forgive. And that's the lesson there. So what we find is, I think that we should, if there is problems before the Lord's Supper is observed, get that settled. Notice in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, he tells us how, this goes back to the gospel, and here Jesus tells us how to deal with problems. You know, when there's problems within the church or within other believers, we have the answer or the guide here to deal with it. Matthew chapter 5 is what I'm looking for. And verses 23 and 24, he says there, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Now, I know this passage is not concerning the Lord's Supper, but I think it's a good principle. Because according to 1 Corinthians 11, the church is to observe it together in unity and in harmony. So if you have aught against a brother or sister in Christ, before you observe it, it's best to get that settled. Get it taken care of. Here's another thought for you. We're not observing the Lord's Supper tonight, and probably not for maybe a month or so. But you don't have to wait to get that taken care of, if there is a problem. I don't know if there is. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we can say, well, I'm not going to observe the Lord's Supper till then. I'll get it taken care of then. You know, you have those weeks and days where you can be miserable and the Lord may not bless you because you have that ought and that problem there. If there is a problem between you and another brother or sister in Christ, just get it taken care of. Go and get it dealt with, and that's what we find the teaching here. Now we go back to 1 Corinthians 11. If you'll notice here, 1 Corinthians 11. And it says there, as we've read it, he says in verse 4, "As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Verse 27. He talks about, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, or the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that cup and drink of that cup." So the examination is to come first before observing the Lord's Supper. And you know, as far as peace, we're talking about peace with other believers. We may not agree in all things. You know, the Bible here doesn't tell us that we have to agree on all things. But we should be, I guess, say in harmony. We should be able to get along with brothers and sisters in Christ. There should be no ought, there should be no anger or no vengeance sought after or no bitterness. And we should be together and in harmony. Now, as far as problems, I've already kind of mentioned that. The Lord's Supper basically encourages us to make peace with each other. You know, I think if the Lord's Supper is observed properly within a church, it'll prevent a lot of problems. Or if problems are there, it'll solve the problems because people are getting things right with God. That's what's happening. And they're getting right with one another instead of holding on to those problems and allowing them to become bigger problems. So if there is a problem between you and another, just seek harmony. If you offended somebody, seek their forgiveness. If you have been offended, forgive, and then leave it with God, and then move on. So that's basically what we find there. Now here's the second part tonight, and this is the error that they were warned against. Notice he says there in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." There's some powerful words here in this passage. And this is a very strong warning, very stern warning. I think it's good that we understand this. So that way when we approach and we observe the Lord's Supper, it's done with a good understanding and we can do it properly. That word unworthily, the word unworthily means irreverent is what it means. And so our first thought is irreverent. Our regard, how we regard the Lord's Supper is what we are going to discuss for the next few minutes. First, irreverent. That's basically to make light of something that is serious. Something that is very important, to take it lightly. It's to disregard something that has great value. That's how we can get ourselves in trouble when it comes to the Lord's Supper. We treat it irreverently. It's to set aside something that is important, to neglect it. And you think of the Lord's Supper, that's the problem that the church had. Notice in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." That was the problem that the church had. Evidently, they had basically disregarded the Lord's Supper. It became treated it in a very irreverent manner and just kind of added it on to everything else. And I think that's what got them in trouble a little bit. And it was something that they should have, of course, understood, but something that Paul here challenged them to get right. What we find here is they're just basically guilty of being irreverent with God's ordinance. Secondly, as far as important, we see irreverent, important. It's important to understand the Lord's Supper. Of course, over the past few weeks, we've discussed the institution of it and the purpose or the reason. But tonight, I want to encourage you to remember that it's important to observe it correctly so God is not offended. We're going to talk about God being offended or displeased here in a little bit. We can offend God, even as believers. We can offend God. We can sin before God. And we can offend Him and displease Him. And I think we should observe the Lord's Supper in a way that honors God and glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10, we'll go back a chapter here and notice what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10. And in verse 31, he says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." The Lord's Supper falls into that, whatsoever you do. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it should be done to glorify God. And if we're going to do it to glorify God, we have to do it correctly. We have to have the correct motive, the correct heart, the correct approach, and observe it in a correct manner. And so that's just a warning for us here. It's important for us to do it correctly so we don't offend God. And that leads us into the result here. And this is our last thought for tonight. The result, we'll talk a little bit about this. The result, we have damnation and displeasure. 1 Corinthians 11:30, notice what he says there. And Paul gives a very stern warning here in verse 30. He says, or verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That word damnation means condemnation or judgment is what it means. In other words, Paul's saying those that do this unworthily, those that partake unworthily of this, then they're going to bring God's judgment upon them, is what he's saying. They don't have to worry about men coming after them or the church because God will be displeased with them. You see, this evening, that's what's important. It's important that we are living right before God. Not pleasing others, but living right before God. I think it implies, more than anything else, it implies that God will deal with the offender. And now we're talking about someone who's, I think, who's doing this on purpose. Someone who is treating the Lord's Supper irreverently. Not someone who has done it ignorantly or made a mistake, didn't understand. I think the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our motives. But someone who may know better or someone who just doesn't care to look into the matter and is just going to do it the way they please or the way they want to and not examine their heart, not take it seriously, God will deal with them. And so those that knowingly offend God will be accountable to God. Now this is, really, it's not a new teaching. It's found throughout the Bible when it comes to sin. What we find is that the teaching really here for believers is attached to the Lord's Supper. We're reminded that God takes His things very seriously and we should as well. So the Lord will deal with them. I have a gavel up there. We're reminded that the Lord is the judge. You notice Paul didn't say the church will come and knock on their door and talk with them. He didn't say that he would even do that. He said the Lord would take care of that. The Lord would deal with them. That would be his way. Now the Lord will deal with them in the correct manner and also in the correct time. You see, one of the reasons why I think we should leave it in the Lord's hands is because we don't know the heart or the motives. There may be someone who just didn't know. That happens from time to time. You know, people just don't know. God knows if someone did something on purpose or if there was just by ignorance, so to speak. So we find damnation. And the second thought here is displeasure. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And then he says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Displeasure. First result. Notice this. He says, for this cause. He says, many are weak and sickly among you. That's health issues. Evidently, blessings were withheld or were not given to the members of Corinth, the ones that were treating the Lord's Supper reverently. Evidently, there were some problems with health, and they were remaining that way. Now this evening, I want to clarify something. I don't know how God deals with people. What I mean by that is, we can't just assume that if someone's sick, that they were irreverent concerning the Lord's Supper. That's not what the teaching here. I think the teaching here is that if we do this unworthily, then God is going to be displeased with us. And there are going to be some results from that. You know, when you think of a parent and a child, if a child is rebellious continuously, now I'm talking about a child who's under the care of the parent at home, they are rebellious continuously, and if it's a good parent, there's going to be some reaction, there's going to be some results. Some kind of discipline is going to occur because of that rebellious attitude and the problems that they're creating. You know, the Bible compares our relationship with God as a father and child relationship. And I think as His children, if we decide we're going to treat the things that He's given that He, expects us to treat with great reverence, we decide we're going to treat those things irreverently and just ignore His direction, then we can't expect His blessings upon our life. What we can expect is some chastisement, is what we can expect. We can expect Him to bring the rod of correction, so to speak, upon us and get us back in line to where we should be so we're serving Him and walking correctly with the Lord. You see, that's what I think the teaching is here. The Lord evidently allowed troubles into their life because of their disobedience. And the Lord can do that, by the way. He can allow troubles into our life because we're disobeying Him, because we're just being stubborn or proud or just being irreverent towards Him. And He can allow that. Secondly, notice that, and this is a little bit more steeper, charger or words here. He says there at the end of verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. And then he says, and many sleep. Now he's not referring to a sleep as far as resting. The word itself means, the Greek word means to decease. In other words, he's referring to death is what he's referring to. Often in the Bible you'll find it being referred to as sleep. Now, of course, we know the soul doesn't sleep, it's the body. And our soul at death is separated. But here, evidently, Paul's saying, you know, this is a serious issue. And if someone is going to continue to treat it in this type of manner, then God may decide just to bring him home. That can happen, by the way. You know, I don't say that to threaten anybody or to cause any fear. I believe Paul is saying that so we understand the seriousness of the situation. That when we observe the Lord's Supper, we should make an examination of our heart. We should make sure that we have examined our heart. We've asked God to examine our heart. If there's any sin, we've repented of it. If there's any odd against someone else, we've got that taken care of. So that when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's something that we know we're doing it in a correct way, not unworthily. We're treating it very reverently and doing it the way God would expect us to do it. And so we find that the Lord is able to bring some chastisement here upon those who choose to treat it incorrectly. And so that's basically the lesson. This is a practical one tonight. And I know we're not observing the Lord's Supper this evening or even next week, but when we do, I encourage you to examine your heart, make sure you're walking with God. And as we close, here's some thoughts in closing tonight on our not only lesson tonight, but the series in general. You know, the Lord's Supper is there for us to partake. I remember when I was younger, and I heard the pastor that I was under, in the church I was under, and I remember he brought a message on the Lord's Supper, and he talked about this last part here. The whole message was dedicated to the results of the Lord's Supper, of drinking, eating and drinking unworthily. And it was a good message, but it scared me to death. And I remember I was only about 12 or 13, and I remember I went home, and I told my I think it was my dad. I said, you know, I'm never going to take the Lord's Supper. I want to make sure I was scared because of the results. Well, you know, that was just being immature. I was young and I didn't understand. You see, the Lord's Supper is not, these verses aren't there to scare us. They're there just to, I think, stir our hearts to understanding so we know what God expects and we know the results if we choose to be disobedient or what could happen. Like I said this morning or this evening, I'm not going to dare say that if someone does it unworthily that God's going to strike them down or they're going to be sick. That's in God's hands. I think the lesson we find here is that there's going to be some sort of chastisement for it. But the Lord's Supper is there for us to partake. And we should prepare our heart. I think the two important reasons for keeping the Lord's Supper. First, it keeps our focus on Christ. Every time we observe it, we're reminded of Jesus Christ. We're reminded of His work on Calvary at Calvary. We're reminded of the cross. We're reminded of His suffering. We're reminded of Him taking our place. We're reminded of salvation. We're reminded of grace. We're reminded of His mercy. We're reminded of how great He is what we're reminded of. And secondly, I think it keeps us right with God, is what it does. You see, when we observe the Lord's Supper, each time we observe it as individuals, if we examine our hearts, even if we observe it, say if we observe it four times this year, if nothing else, if we take it serious four times, that means four times we're going to examine our heart. Now, we should examine our heart more, obviously. But if nothing else, we're going to, if we take it serious, we're going to take a serious examination of our heart four times at least this year. And to make sure that we're walking with God, that we have sin, that if there is sin, it's confessed, it's forsaken, that we get back on track with the Lord. And so really, it keeps us right with God because we examine our heart, we confess our sin, and we walk the Lord. So that's what the Lord's Supper is there for. It's not to, like I said, it's not to scare us, but it's there for us to observe so we can draw closer to God and have that fellowship with the Lord that He wants us to have. Because when there's sin in our life, then the fellowship with God is it's a broken fellowship. I mean, He doesn't forsake us, but He can't bless us like I believe He would want to when there is no sin in our life. When we are having sweet fellowship with the Lord, we can receive the blessings that the Holy Spirit can provide. And so the Lord's Supper, I think, that's a way of just really encouraging us to walk with God. So we're going to close with a word of prayer tonight. Hope and pray that this series has been an encouragement to you. And when we do observe the Lord's Supper, like I said, we'll announce it ahead of time so that way you can take time to prepare. If there is anything in your life or in your heart that you need to get settled, that way you have time to do that. But there's no need to wait for that. We can do that tonight anyway, or tomorrow, whenever. We can just make sure things are right.